From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax and unwind tonight with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy work week flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, welcome really well. To the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
So good to see you. Loving the hair color. Going right back to your roots.
Much.
I love it.
Like, thank you.
You look beautiful.
Gotta get back there eventually. You know, once a ginger, always a ginger. Today on Return to the Shadows, we have a very, very special guest, the one and only Lisa Marcos, the one and only Captain Vargas. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Lisa, why don't we start by telling the people a little about you, about how you got started in this business, and then we'll move on to the real deep Shadowhunters questions.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So I actually started in fashion, and I was very young. I started around 12, did that for many years. And along the way, I did a lot of commercials. And the more I did commercials, the more I realized that it was way too opinionated to be in fashion. my mouth is a little bit too big.
Right.
So a friend of mine was like, you know, you should really think about pursuing acting. And so it was like the seed that was planted, and that sort of became my mission. It was like, okay, let me learn more about it, get more information about this craft, and how can I sort of, you know, break in this, because it's a tough business. And I started taking some courses, found an agent, and the rest was history.
I have on my notes here, and you tell me if this is true or not, you knocked on the door of a talent agency?
That's right, yeah.
Literally, you know, literally knocked on the door.
This what? Isn't
literally.
Wow.
So things are a little different now with social media, for sure. But back in those days, if you were in fashion, it was the big no-no to make the jump into acting, because people just didn't take you seriously.
Interesting.
Right.
And so it's like a stigma that kind of follows you. You know, you can be pretty, but you can't be smart, or, you know, it's one of the, you have to pick.
That's what people always tell me anyway.
I'm sure they do. So I just, I really just had a passion for wanting to find my way in this business and not ignore my past, but simply just use both of them to my benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I looked up great agents in Toronto, where I'm from, and literally called and said, okay, can I come see you? I have zero experience. I don't know anything about this craft, but I'm willing to learn, and I know I want to do this. I've been with the same agent ever since.
No way, really?
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite humans on the planet.
So for audience members who don't know, both of those things are fairly uncommon. Like it's you agents yes. change. That's par for the course, you know, it's similar to any relationship. And you never get an agent by just knocking at someone's door. That's
no.
not how it works.
And a good one at that. He is one of the best ones. And I think what he saw in me was just determination. Yeah. Like this was mm-hmm. something that I knew I was called to do. I just mm-hmm. wasn't sure because I didn't have anyone in my family. I didn't know anyone in the business. I just didn't know how to get my foot in the door.
Yeah.
And I thought, what the hell? Just go ask. Just knock and see what happens. And
amazing.
Literally I enrolled in a class and I think it was like a week later I had booked my first series.
That's wow. incredible.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little jealous of that. That's not how it went for me. Mine was a lot more ice skating uphill for sure.
Well, it was great. And then it just kind of got, you know, it goes wonky along the way.
See, now for those listening, that's very normal.
Yeah.
That's a very normal acting career. Yeah. Just like, oh, everything's great. And then like, I haven't worked in a while and then everything's great again. That's mm-hmm. pretty common.
Feast or famine, right? But that uh-huh. truly is half the battle, you know, with anything in life, but with this industry in particular, it's tenacity and that willingness to learn. And that's really admirable. And what an incredible story. Oh my goodness.
Oh, thank you. It's been a journey to say the least, for sure.
My goodness. Well, and so then you were you working primarily in Canada and then going to LA, or did you kind of go all over the place?
So with film and television, it was primarily at the time I started there and was doing most of the productions from there. Thankfully, a lot of the US productions were being shot up north, which gave me a great head start to a lot of things and got to meet wonderful people and work with wonderful people like you guys, make great memories. So it was at first, it was definitely that. And I was able to, there were a few projects that flew me out, a few movies that I did, and then we would shoot in different places, Atlanta and some other places. But mostly it was there until I made the move to Los Angeles.
Great. So tell us, let's get into it. Let's get into the shadow hunters of it all.
Yes, yes.
How did you start this journey? How did Vargas reach your desk? Were you, what were your initial feelings? And what was that process like for you?
Yeah, so Vargas to me, Captain Vargas was definitely meant to be. Because at the time, I didn't think I would be able to do it. Because I was doing another series. I was filming Rogue at the time. And the scheduling was literally the exact same start and end dates.
Oh, no.
And so I wasn't sure that I was able to do it. So I actually didn't even do the audition because I thought this is going to be a nightmare and it's going to be a waste of time for everybody because I just didn't think that we could make it work. And casting saved me. She was like,
wow.
I think we can make this work and I think you'd be great because I had played detectives and cops and all that before. And she's like, I think we can really make this work and both productions are willing to work with it. So let's try it. So,
wow. That's amazing as well.
And I didn't really know much about it at first. So I started doing my homework and reading a lot and watched the movie. And I was like, I definitely want to be a part of this. you know, cut to my first day on set and meeting you guys, I knew it was the right choice.
Well, we felt really lucky to have you.
Yeah. Well, thank God for casting. We've had a couple stories like that, I think, haven't we? Who else was saying that connect? Because we didn't get cast by the same guys that you did. We got cast by the team in LA. And I think you got cast by the Canadian casting team, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not that they would have worked any less hard for us, but we have heard a couple of times that the Canadian casting team did a really spectacular job at like, no, you're our person. We need you to, we're going to make this work. Let's bring you in.
Yeah, they're pretty great out there, I got to say.
Well, to be fair, we've spoken about this a lot on the show, but every single person who came on the show, and yourself included, especially because you were a part of the show so early on, dove in headfirst and was so committed and excited to be there and came on this journey with us in a way that, you know, you all weren't living in this world with us for 10 months a year, but you were just as dedicated and just as excited to tell this story as everybody else. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me be a part of it. I know you guys were knee deep in the hard work when I would show up on set, and whether it be blood everywhere or just like, you know, practicing the stunts or getting the work done, you guys worked really hard.
Yeah, you know, but such a huge part of making that hard work like fun is having guys like you come in, is having guys that add to the energy, that don't take away from anything. And I think we've all worked with people who can take away from the energy and can make it feel a bit like, why am I doing this? Why am I working so hard when this is going on around me? This doesn't make any sense. And we didn't have any of those people. We had guys like you come in and guys like Joel come in and these people who would just make us smile every day. And it made it really easy. It made doing this work really easy and it made it fun, which, you know, I've always said to myself, a job's only worth doing until I stop having fun. And then why am I doing this? What's the purpose? Why am I putting myself through this? And you did, and you made it fun every day. And I thank you for that.
Well, I thank you, but I also thank you guys because, you know, when you're not consistently going to a set every day, it's kind of like your first day of school all over again. You're the odd one out coming in and it's a little nerve wracking and you know, you have to remember everyone's name and you just seen them maybe 2 weeks ago. And it's like, oh, you don't want to be the one who's messing everything up all the time. But you guys were a ball of energy. Like you were so much fun. And the other thing that I was working on was intense. So this was so much fun to come on set and to feel your energy and to see you guys genuinely love your job and mm-hmm. love the characters and love being there. Mm-hmm. And some of the memories I have from, you know, the days that I was there watching you guys on set, that's what sticks out to me still to this day.
That's really sweet.
You know, yeah, you guys really made that project shine for me.
Thank you.
And that's why I get still to this day when I see you guys on other projects, it makes my heart smile because it's like, you know, they deserve it.
That's so lovely.
For sure.
You're so kind. That's so you were, you know, Captain Vargas was a part of some really pivotal moments of our show, particularly speaking of the books, one scene that was pulled directly from where, you know, Clary and Jace are infiltrating the police station and Jace has to pretend to be the wanton boyfriend, as it were. So it's just great to, you know, be able to think back on those memories as well, being iconic as they were from the books, but because you were there as well.
Aw, you're so sweet. And that was one of the days that I remember the most.
I agree. Me too. And I remember being in that back, like that little office space they had, and we were all just like chatting mm-hmm. and like, I think we were talking about something, I can't remember what it was, but we were talking about something like fairly important and I'm like deep in like a hip thrust stretch. And then I just realized like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, why am I having this conversation with you whilst I'm doing this? This is insane. This is a stupid thing to be doing. But again, you know, this is, we talk a lot on this show about like safety, about feeling safe. Mm-hmm. And that scene in particular, I got sort of fairly free rein to kind of come at it however I wanted. I can only really do that if I feel safe and I feel comfortable with the people around me. And I did, and I was able to have a lot of fun with it, which is great. You know, there are obviously a bunch of takes that didn't end up in the show, right? So almost, thank God.
But we had a good laugh at it, though.
But we had a good laugh at it, and that's really important. And, you know, harkens back to what I was saying. Like, if you're not having fun, then you're not doing it correctly. And also, I do find that when we are relaxed and when we are having fun, for me at least, I think I could probably speak fairly safely for you guys as well, but that's when I do my best work. That's when I look back and go, oh yeah, I was really comfortable that day. And I was in that same headspace that I needed to be in, and it felt great.
Well, that's just it. When you're not breaking the ice, when you're not, you know, trying to get everyone to be comfortable and relax, and when you can sort of settle into it, as you know, Dom, you and I have talked about this a lot, we often did on Shadowhunters because of our cast and our crew, you can get creative and just let things flow and let the magic take its course, which is quite exciting.
Yeah, and I also think that the way the scenes were written and how, you know, stage direction and how we kind of went through it, that in itself had its own magic. Mm-hmm. And then you add the chemistry that we had going off camera, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in front of the camera, because, you know, what was happening between our characters off camera and on camera are two different things, right?
Of course, real life versus,
right. So I think the undertone of the mutual respect and fun was there. And mm-hmm. we just added the element of, okay, now it's work time. So straight faces on.
Yeah.
Well, at least for me anyway.
Yeah, a little call to action there for sure. Mm-hmm. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about your experiences with the one and only Isaiah Mustafa.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Dom.
Tell us what that's like. We obviously worked with him, but we both as actors, I think, and again, I don't want to speak for you, Kat, but we've talked about this, so I think I'm fairly safe to do so.
Yeah.
We had both on screen and off screen a very different relationship with Isaiah than you did. Your on screen relationship with Isaiah is you're the boss, you're in charge. You're also kind of buddies, but you are in charge. Whereas our relationship with him was very much like he's kind of the dad.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
like, right. He's the responsible one. Like, he's the one he's the most experienced of all of us. And we're all sort of taking our cues of behavior and stuff from him. And you got to kind of subvert that. So how was that for you?
Well, it's interesting because I think people, a lot of the roles I book have been very serious. So when mm-hmm. When I walk on set, I think they just assume that I am a very serious person, which you guys know I'm a big goofball at heart.
Absolutely.
And more so a goofball than serious for sure.
That's why we love you.
And so, yeah, thank you. And I think at first he didn't know how to take me. Because here I am in a, pantsuit and have all this intense dialogue of being Miss Strong, Miss in Control. And then it'd be like, cut. And I would make some goofy song or I'd start doing something. And he was just like, what? So at first, I think he was unsure of where to place me. And the last thing you want to do is be in an intense scene and have an intense break in between.
Right.
So you want to keep it chill unless you mm-hmm. need to concentrate, which is a total different thing.
Right. But,
when it's that kind of intensity. Mm-hmm. So at first I was, I think he really took a minute to see, like, is this for real? Is she for real? Like,
what is going on?
Once he totally got comfortable with me,
yeah.
then I realized he was even a bigger goofball than I was.
Yeah.
Which
That's
was
Isaiah.
The fun part because,
our
real life relationship was nothing like what it was on camera. He's very kind and very thoughtful and respectful, but he also has a funny side. He would randomly just raise his eyebrow, and then I would run with that, based off of the commercial. So any moment I had to kind of run with it, I did.
Yeah.
I think at first he was a little unsure. It's like, is this for real? Is she really?
That's such an interesting concept that I very recently experienced. I was filming in New York. I guess the last TV show I'd done before this was Penny Dreadful. And I played a Nazi in Penny Dreadful. I played a not very nice guy in Penny Dreadful. And I met this older couple who were also walking their dog. And we were talking. And we were like, I'm an actor. That's why I'm here. And they were like, oh, have you been in anything? And I was like, I just did this TV show, Penny Dreadful. And he went, oh, I watched Penny Dreadful. And I went, oh, I played the Nazi. And he, bless his heart, he put on his glasses and went, oh, so you did. That was hysterical. But then we chatted a little longer and he went, it's so strange. You're really nice. And I was like, yeah, I'm not a Nazi, just so you know. That's it's all pretend. Like, it's all, but there is this like audience, and it's almost a compliment that you've done your job kind of quite well.
Absolutely.
But also this weird, like, I'm not these people, just so you're aware. Not like
it's
them.
It's so funny that you say that, because a lot of the roles that I have booked have been either the unlikable character or the mean character or the tough character. And I've always said, it's kind of great to be the bad one and be remembered for it, because it just means that you've really showed up and done your job.
100%.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I did a movie a while back, a Tyler Perry film, Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Yeah.
And I played the other woman.
Mm-hmm.
And still to this day, when I get recognized or when people figure out that I'm that woman, I remember then and still to this day, people would hiss at me.
No.
Really?
Like literally hiss at my character.
Wow.
Because they were so mad at the fact that I was that woman.
Yeah.
Because people get so engaged in the project that they forget that we are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We're just paid to show up and perform and to put
on. Yeah.
And not all stories are fairy tale. Not all people are good humans.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
someone has to do the dirty work.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a fun. Yeah, me too. I've done my fair share as well. But it's like kind of fun to play the bad guy. I remember I must have been 5 or 6 years old. And we were doing the nativity, which is something that happens in schools. I don't know. Do you guys do this as well?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or we used to. Yeah. 100 years ago.
Yeah. Me too. So we were doing the nativity and I was cast in the play as King Herod. And I remember at 5 years old being kind of upset by that because I was like, oh man, like he's the child murdering bad guy. Like that's not what I want to do. I'm 5. Like this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I remember this so clearly. Mr. Nixon, he was a maths teacher, and he was kind of the one that everyone was afraid of. Like, he was, you know, we're all kids who, afraid of the sterner teachers. And he took me aside and he went, you know, the best characters you will ever play in your career, which stood out to me because he said the word career, which I thought was really cool. He said, it will be the bad guys for two reasons. Mm. One, you get to explore a version of human psyche that you will never explore in your real life, mm-hmm. which is really interesting. And he said, two, they have the best costumes.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not wrong. This is kind of all we have.
I will say that is very true. The bad guys always have the best costumes. You know, when I did the Bravo to Mr. Nixon, that's sage advice.
I know. I saw him recently, which was really amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. Some of my favorite costumes have been bad guy ones. Like on The Stand, I think I was constantly covered in sequins or vintage fur or jewels of some kind with bright pink hair. And it's you never get to do things like that. You never get to explore that side. And it is important that we tell stories about people that are not the version that we want to be, to learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny because my daughter, who is now a preteen, is a huge fan.
No, she isn't.
I know. Time goes by fast.
Wow.
But she is a huge fan of yours, Kat. Mainly because everything she turns on, you're in.
Right.
And so she'll turn something on. She's like, Mom, look, there's your friend again. There's your friend again. But it took her a really long time to understand, because the first time that she laid eyes on you was, I think it was Bunked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, Jesse. Jesse. Yeah. Jesse.
Bryn Breitbart, not nice.
Yeah, well, that going back to the mean character, she's like, is she like that in real life, Mom? I said, actually, sweetheart, she's just acting. She's really good. So to see her now understand.
So you lied. You lied to your daughter, just straight to her face.
I lied. Yeah, be nice. But that's when you know you're good at your craft, because the person who has never met you before can sit back and go, is she really like that?
Yeah.
You know, are those traits really in her?
Yeah.
And then we'll see you in one of your, you know, more recent stuff. And she's like, wow, she's really pretty. Wow, she's really strong. Wow, she's really smart. Wow, she's good. So it's amazing to see it through innocent eyes, the evolution of your work. So that's how I took it, as it's just, you know, when a fan sort of falls in love at a certain age and then they watch you grow, that speaks volumes of what you've accomplished.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you for vouching for my not being that character.
No, I was like, she's a bit much here. No. She's not like she's for this thing. Because that character was a little far stretched for you, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Compared to what you are in real life. Ooh. So that was like, no. She's nothing like that.
You're a nicer person than me. I wouldn't have said that. I would have been like, she's exactly like that. She's exactly like that.
Yeah, that's exactly who she is.
Be nice.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knix Anniversary Sale is on now at KNIX.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knix's biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knix leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine-washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks. Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knix wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knix favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knix.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knix Anniversary Sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knix.com. That's KNIX.com.
Well, speaking of that, too, you've bounced around and done guest stars and been that standout character on so many different shows. And that, as you mentioned, is an experience that is quite, it's not always the easiest, but it's a skill that you've clearly developed quite well. So tell us a little bit about that. And are there, other than, you know, our lovely experience with you, have there been any other shows that really stand out to you or are really memorable in that way?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So at every job that comes my way, I see it as a blessing. And not just from the perspective of work and being able to work in this business, because that alone is a huge blessing, but also as a human, to engage with different types of people, and actors specifically are different. So I feel like I've been really lucky to be able to go into other sets and to explore different characters, but also work with different personalities. Some have been amazing, some others not so much. But at the end of the day, you take it all in, and it just helps you prepare for your next thing and engage in the next one and the next one. And some of them are nerve-wracking as can be, because, you know, you got to put your big girl boots on and go in there with blazing guns and making sure that you dot all your I's and cross your T's. But there are some projects that just stay so close to your heart. Like, there are some people that just leave that impression in your heart. And I've been fortunate enough, like, the one that comes to mind, I did a series with Taye Diggs. And I can honestly say, because he is such a sweetheart, and he really is the real deal, I would say that he is the reason why I'm still in the business.
Wow.
Because, and the reason why I say that is because had I had one of the harder, aggressive, not so kind humans to work with early on, I think I would have just said, you know what, I don't think this is for me, because I don't do well with nasty people. But when you show up and someone is kind and generous, and you learn so much from them, and it makes you want more of it, more of that. Being on set and feeling free and creative and not being judged, and you want more of it. Being with you guys, I felt that way. And it was very strange, because I wasn't on set as often as I would have liked to have been, per se. But when I did go, I can remember all the laughs. I can remember all the inside jokes. I can remember, you know, even the days I was there for the stunt training for the final scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was always fun. I always looked forward to it. I always made sure that I was available. I wanted to be there, because you guys, you are extremely talented and so well-deserved on all your success. But as humans, you guys are just really great people. Yeah, I had a blast. I had a blast.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk about the stunt training. Let's talk about that scene. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, that was – I love doing anything that – I know I'm going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be sore. I know. I know I'm going to regret, but that's okay. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And so when they told me they were going to hang me upside down from, a, I don't know what it was, 60 feet up in the air. And it was funny because at the time, I just kept hearing, I was like, okay, is this going to throw out my back? Because I was just concerned that I was going to have a back problem. They're like, no, 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 this will actually heal your back. I'm like, what do you mean heal your back? So apparently for people with extreme back problems, there is a technique where when you hang upside down, as long as you learn how to do it blood pressure wise, and so that when the blood comes rushing down, you just, it's a whole technique of getting used to. But it actually does help heal your back problems.
Wow. Do you do it now, day in, day out? Is this,
no,
you have an upside down rig in your house?
Batwoman.
Yeah. Just a little wire rig, you know?
Literal, yeah. Batwoman, yeah. Hang upside down in my room every night. No, I wish I had the equipment at home, but I don't. I haven't done it since. But I had had a similar experience prior to. I had done this commercial in South Africa before I got into acting. And the whole thing was, is I had to fall off a tree backwards.
Oh, my.
And it was like one of those really old high trees. Mm-hmm. And so it was supposed to look like a dream. So you're like falling backwards. And it took almost 2 weeks of training to learn how to properly fall on my back so I wouldn't break my back. And then what they would do is they dug a hole and they put mats and then covered it with grass. So it was an actual tree. This wasn't studio work. It was an actual tree that we had to practice on. And then, yeah, it was like 2 weeks of work. And so the whole thing was is to fall and not break your back. Right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm that girl. It's like, oh, yeah, sure. You want me to fall off a tree? Sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Talk about willingness to learn.
It's also much safer now. There are much better ways to do it than...
There are, yeah. But that was, you know, the old school way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, let's throw her in it.
Try and fall in this, like, 2-foot square. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Okay, go.
That's it. But it prepared me for this, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I think the only time I said, and I didn't even really say no. Yes, I actually did say no. We worked around it. Was they wanted to set my hair on fire for a movie that I did.
Oh, no, no, no.
And I was like, you know, can we CGI that?
Can you do anything
Please.
Else? Like, yeah, don't set my hair on fire. Are you crazy?
You know, yeah. When we don't need any those kind of accidents, we're
no
good.
Way.
So
definitely yeah. not. Definitely mm-hmm. not.
Wow. Yeah, I would have said no too. Whilst you're explaining that, I'm like, I don't think there's much I would say no to. And that, you know, when you can't think of an example, but of course there are hundreds of things. And then you said hair on fire and I'm like, yep, that's one. Yep. Not in a million years.
Yeah, it's like supposed to be right here too.
Oh,
and
no.
Even though they're like, oh, it's a piece because it's a hair piece that's added. And then they have that special fluid that doesn't allow the rest of the hair. And I was like, I'm good. And yeah, I'm good. Aside from that, drop me from a tree, hang me upside down. Do what you got to do. Just don't touch the hair.
Just don't touch the hair.
And it's gorgeous hair. So makes
Agreed.
Sense.
Oh, thank you.
How funny. They tried to set your hair on fire. I can't get past it. That's that's crazy.
Well, it was based off a true story.
Okay.
It was a horror film, and they were following the story guideline.
Yeah, but there's got to be a better way. I mean, there was a better way around this. They worked around doing it a different way.
Yeah.
What did they end up doing instead, if you recall?
CGI.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's ludicrous to me that they even contemplated taking that risk.
Yeah, especially when, you know, I don't like even thinking about it, but, you know, when Michael Jackson had his accident early on, like that was the first thing that crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I thought,
And you're like, that's Michael Jackson. I think it was a Pepsi commercial, right? Like it was,
I know.
Two of the biggest like brands in the world, Michael Jackson and Pepsi.
Exactly.
If they can make that mistake.
Exactly.
Yeah, nah. Hard pass.
No, thank you.
I've been told I'm not allowed to do stunts, which is always heartbreaking. There were like two big ones on Shadowhunters. So you're never allowed to go through glass. They never let you go through glass. Also on Eraser, the movie I just did in South Africa, actually, weirdly, was there was another pane of glass shot and they just don't let you do it. There's because it's real glass. Like you're going to get nicked. And even the stunt guys are like, you're going to get cut a little and you have other scenes to do today. So we can't have you like,
well, that just means you're very valuable to them. When they don't let you do it, that just means you're really
yes,
important.
That's nice.
It's true.
And then the high fall. I was gutted about the high fall.
I'm gutted for you.
I know. This was in season two. And there was a scene where Jace had to just hop off a bridge and down into a river, but where we were shooting, there's no river, so it was all CGI. And they're like, the bridge is about sort of 30 feet. We're going to train you how to do this stunt. So you start at 5 feet and you go up to 10 feet and 15 feet, work your way up to 30 feet over a course of like 2 weeks. And I got up to 30 feet and we finally do it. And it's Dean and Darren and Max, who you never got to meet, which is a real shame. We got a new stunt crew in season two. And they're just the most amazing group of men. They were absolutely incredible. So I've got Dean, this built like a boxer guy, stood behind me holding my belt. And we're on a cherry picker, like a scissor lift. And Dean's a big guy. He was like 210, 215 pounds. So the thing is like shaking under our weight. Now, the protocol is it's called a box rig. I want to emphasize, please do not try this at home because it's very specifically done and in a very safe way. But essentially, it's cardboard boxes arranged in a certain way with saran wrap wrapped around them. And the idea is when your pressure, the pressure of your weight hits them, they collapse under your weight and slow you down enough that you don't hit whatever's underneath. Anyway, so we get up to 30 feet and Dean just goes, okay, whenever you're ready. And I'm like, whenever I'm ready, fucking push me. And we obviously wouldn't. And I take the step and I do it and we did it four or five times and we're in a good spot. And then we get there on the day. I think the insurance guy was there that day, just completely by accident, and was like, is that Dom up there? And we're like, yeah, he's not doing that. There's no way. And I was like, I did it 2 days ago. I did this exact stunt 2 days ago on a scissor rig that's moving. They were like, no, there's no way. There's no way. Get him down.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. But in all fairness, I witnessed both of you working your tails off at Nuno's gym.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You guys train so hard in Nuno's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Nuno. Nuno, for those who don't know, Nuno De Salas is a fitness trainer to the stars in Toronto and one of the most amazing men that I've ever worked with, not just physically, but also in general. He's this incredibly kind-hearted, eloquent man. It was a pleasure to work with him. But sorry, Lisa, please continue.
No, he's out. I've known Nuno since my teens, believe it or not.
Oh my gosh, no way.
We were friends way before we got to work together, which made it that much cooler. But I would witness how hard you guys worked. I mean, your box jumps, cats, were... wow. Wow. You guys really, really, really put in the work.
Well, thank you.
But the truth is that it shows on camera.
It does.
So whether you get to do the stunts or not, your hard work that you poured in really does show on camera.
Yeah.
So you guys, it's not unnoticed.
I mean, a lot of that is a result of being encouraged by people like Nuno and Dean and Darren. And, you know, For myself, I'm a very tiny human. And until I met Nuno and Darren and Dean and all of them, I never thought I could have any modicum of real physical strength. I just thought, well, I'm tiny, so no, it's not for me. But they changed my life and changed how I looked at myself and how I looked at fitness. And I learned from them. And this is why I talk about it so much, is that, you know, if you learn to train for your body and you get the knowledge and the education that you need from the experts like Nuno, you can really change everything.
Oh, absolutely. And you became a beast. I mean, I was impressed because I did not see, you know, this tiny girl just like, you took off. It was quite impressive.
Yeah. You don't want to get punched in the face by a...
Hey.
Trust me.
One time. By accident.
One time. It wasn't by accident. It was on purpose. You just slapped me incorrectly.
Yeah. That was the accident part. I'm sorry.
Ridiculous. You know how most people slap like a normal human being sort of with your fingers and maybe like a tiny part of this hand? All like this part, just full. It was just a punch in the face. Like, that's what I got. It was like, right, one solid piece of bone just hit me in the side of the head. And I was like,
did you piss her off earlier?
No, it was part of the scene.
Did you piss yourself? I was like, Lisa, I sure did. And I told you that in confidence.
What can we say on this podcast?
Whatever, no. Honestly, whatever you want. Like, we're producers on this.
Oh, really?
We
okay.
can say whatever. It's great.
I thought this was Disney. I'm
not anymore,
no,
baby.
This is us. This
free
is us.
Reign to do whatever we want.
Yeah. Okay. No, you guys had a pretty good relationship on set. I mean, there was a lot of cat and mouse, brother, sister.
Yeah.
But yet, you guys had great chemistry.
We have fun.
It was good
there's
fun.
A reason, you know, we're still doing this.
Exactly.
We're still doing
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sober, no less. Who would have thought?
Well, I was gonna send you a message and saying, should we all just, you know, make it like a pub night?
I can't do it.
Oh, really?
No, because there's so much that we did a cross promotion with the movie I just did. So we had the cast of that movie coming in. And even sober, I get away with myself and I'm like, oh, let's talk about this and this. And then I give away the ending of the movie and I'm like, oh, shit, damn it. So,
Oh, no.
I can't have a sip of alcohol. I need to be completely in control. This is sparkling water. I know it looks like one of those truly, what is it? What are they called? What's the spiked seltzer?
Sparkling seltzer. Yeah.
Yeah.
What time is it now where you're at?
It is 8 o'clock here. 8 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's appropriate drinking time. If I were to have a drink, no one would be like, listen here, you psycho, what are
part
you doing?
Two.
Yeah.
Part two of the podcast.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
all come in all.
I do think we should have a drinking game episode. I think that would be fun.
That would be quite good fun. It would also be chaos, like absolute full chaos. We've tried, I mean, we drank with each other pretty much solidly for like 4 years.
Yeah.
And very rarely did we get anything done.
But we had fun. We got nothing done, but we had great fun.
We had a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I don't know if we can talk about this so just give me a signal if you want me to stop. But I remember being on
It's not live. It's okay. If you say whatever you want, I can just tell the guys later. I'll be like, listen, that shit she was just saying, cut it all out. It's all completely untrue.
All right, cool. I remember being on set and I don't know what we were talking about, but I remember like we were laughing like crazy. And I look over and you literally pull down your pants. Do you remember this?
wait, I think I do.
I think I still have the photos of it. You were standing right next to it. I was like, where did your pants go? And you had your pants wrapped around your ankles.
Stood in my boxes. Yeah.
And I think we took a photo right after of the three of us. Yeah, you were in your boxers.
Wow.
I think I still have those pictures.
That is so funny. Yeah.
You should have podcasts just like that.
It's true.
Sometimes when the jokes aren't landing, you just got to go with the physical.
That's what I'm saying. But that's
wander around
what
like a penguin.
That's what made it so much fun, though, was the fact that there was the freedom to play.
Yeah.
Right?
And to Winnie the Pooh it, you know?
Yeah.
To Winnie the Pooh it?
Yeah.
Is that what that's called?
Winnie
oh, because he doesn't wear any pants? Because he's not wearing any pants ever? I see. Yeah. I'm with you.
What did you think I was saying?
I don't know. I don't know. I thought I was confused.
I like that. Cat gave him the best nickname, Winnie the Pooh.
I'm Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, I do all the time.
He does love honey in his coffee. So, you know,
I do love honey in my coffee. Because of Shadowhunters.
Honey in your coffee?
Oh, my God. Try it. So delicious. It's so delicious. I'm going to have one right after this.
And
I shouldn't.
Cream as well, like half and half? Or
I'll put milk in it, like a little milk in it maybe, but like it's so delicious. And it got me through like some of those really late, like late nights that we had on Shadowhunters. Matt and I especially, we'd call it rocket fuel. And it would be a double espresso topped up with Americano with honey in it and like a thimble full of milk. And that's how we would get through. And we would like leave it as late as we possibly could because it only really gives you energy for about 45 minutes. And then you're just like, well, now I'm done. I got nothing left in the tank at all. So we would leave it until like, God, there were times we were doing it at like 2 a.m. and we know we had to keep going until 4 or 5. And we're like, it's rocket fuel time. I got nothing left. Oh. We gotta get into this.
Did you guys ever get into Tim Hortons while you were there?
No. No.
I love the coffee at Tim Hortons, actually. There was one about a block away from where we lived, and it was, I do love their coffee.
Okay, so
that's
you did,
about
okay.
as far as
that's
I went.
The thing is that everyone gets addicted, and then when you're done filming,
you're at a loss.
You're kind of screwed, because it's,
Tim Hortons, tell us what Tim Hortons is. I feel like I would be misspeaking if, as the non-Canadian.
Oh, Tim Hortons is a wonderful invention. No, it's a coffee chain that was created by, I don't know if it was created by the actual hockey player, Tim Horton, or his family that named it after him. Anyway, it started off as a small coffee chain and it blew up into this massive, massive franchise. And anyone and everyone, if you go anywhere in Canada, I guaranteed within 2 or 3 blocks, you will find at least 2 or 3 Tim Hortons.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just a basic coffee shop that has everything from muffins, donuts, food now, and all that. And I think actually Justin Bieber just bought into Tim Hortons.
Really?
And he has his own line of coffee and donuts. He just posted about it recently.
Wow.
At Timmy's, to which I replied to his comments saying, can we please bring one to Los Angeles as the Canadian? I would love to have Tim Hortons out here.
I wonder if it would like make roots in LA or if LA is too ingrained in its Starbucks.
Yeah, I don't think it would, not like it is back home. I think one of the reasons why it does so well back in Canada is because it's so cold.
Mm.
So 8 months of the year, you need that hot coffee, and it's a lot cheaper than some of their competitions, you know, selling for $7-$8 a cup of coffee.
I've just thought of a really good question that I don't know why I haven't asked any of the other Torontonians. So we noticed something in the winter when we were there in the winter. Fucking brutal. Like, absolutely brutal. It gets to like 25 Celsius below. Like, it's really bad. Mm-hmm. And I was still smoking cigarettes at the time. So I would like sit on my freezing cold balcony with like two duvets wrapped around me and desperately try and smoke a cigarette. And then two in, I was just like, get rid of that. That's horrendous. But I would notice that there's like no people on the street, of course, because it's freezing cold. But then how do people get around? And now I don't know if this is a rumor in Toronto or if this is a real thing that exists, but is there like a subterranean walkway in Toronto? There's like a little subterranean city that exists.
Did you never explore those?
Never. I thought it was a fucking rumor. I was like, I'm not going down there. What, with the mole people? No way. Oh, you want me to go and live underground for 4 months of the year? You're insane.
Yeah, well, we have the subway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the subway, yeah. But
and then there is a little area in the middle of the city where you can walk underground to get from one place to another. But it's not like the whole city's underground.
Oh, that's what I thought it was. I thought like in the winter, like storefronts just go subterranean and like everything
is the same as above.
Wouldn't it be kind of cool?
That would be wild.
That would be awesome, especially with the amount of snow that we get.
Yeah.
To your point, Dom, you could get like from where we lived all the way to the mall and then around completely underground.
Serious?
Yeah.
What area were you guys staying
like
when you
King
were
King and John, right? Around Tiff,
yeah.
The Tiff area. Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Who knew?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knicks anniversary sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knicks' biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knicks leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine-washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks.
Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knix wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knix favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knix.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knix Anniversary Sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knix.com. That's KNIX.com.
I learned so much from all of our Canadian counterparts about shooting in the snow and working in the snow and living in those winters that now anywhere else I am in the world, I'm well equipped. I've learned all the tips and tricks and methods. I'm the warmest person on set in any
so
cold
much.
Night shoot.
Yeah. Like we when we were just in New York, like I'm in like a t-shirt for a lot of it, or like it's called The Partner Track. It's a new Netflix show. It's all about young lawyers in the city. Very often we're just sort of in suits and they're like, do you want your underlayers or whatever? I'm like, baby, listen to me. I did 4 years in Toronto. This ain't nothing. This ain't nothing. You tell me when it hits double digits, negative double digits, then you can bring me some warmers. But until then, I'm too hot, in fact. So let's take a couple layers off.
Mm-hmm. It prepared you. Well, here's the funny. So I was born and raised a good chunk of my life in Toronto. So one would think that I would be used to it. But I ended up doing a movie in Parry Sound, which is north, about 4 hours north. And you don't really know cold
really?
Until you start going.
Oh, my gosh.
So this movie was an outdoor movie, and it was all about geocaching. It was a thriller horror film that was shot out. Like, everything was outdoors. So at one point, we lost 3 different crews to frostbite.
Oh,
no.
My goodness.
They were just, they were going down one by one. It was pretty brutal. So when you're in a place and you just see, like, a good day is minus 40.
Oh.
You swear after that you will never work in snow again.
No.
The cold in Toronto felt like being in a tropical island compared to the cold up north.
What's the coldest you've worked in, do you think?
It was definitely that movie.
No, I mean, what was the actual temperature?
Oh, what was the degree? I think it ranged from minus 20 to about minus 40. Like, there were days where the news would warn you, please stay inside, please bring your pets inside, and we'd have to go out and continue to shoot.
That's
just how it was.
I just did that in Montreal in January, and it was even the folks that live in Montreal were going, oh, you guys are here at a particularly cold 2 weeks. It was minus 35 wind chill, I think. And I'm, outside in a cocktail dress, being like with my nostrils freezing and trying to figure it out.
The worst is when you can't talk, when your jaw locks up. And
you're like,
and you can't actually get the words out.
I had that I thought was so interesting, and they told me season 2, because we didn't really experience a proper winter in season 1, because we were only there for sort of 7 months. But season 2, we were there for 10 months, so inevitably we were going to hit a winter. And they told me, before you leave your trailer, put an ice cube in your mouth and lower the temperature of your mouth so you're sort of a little more acclimatized to it. And I didn't do that the first time. And I took my first breath in and all of the liquid in my mouth started to freeze and I could feel it. That was a really odd sensation. And then from then I always had little ice cubes in my trailer and I would drop the temperature of my mouth. So it wouldn't feel so alien that first breath bringing it in. Because your lungs as well, you feel it in your lungs. When you like breathe in the cold air, it feels really odd.
Yeah. The one thing that I did learn in that movie that I did in Parry Sound was to put the hot packs in your boots.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So your feet, and if you constantly change them, it's, the source of heat leaves from your feet.
And your gloves, if you get the opportunity, always in your gloves.
Be safe in the cold, folks.
Well, and the thing is as an actress, I for me personally, I never want to look bulky because I just don't want to be bigger than what I already am naturally. So when you're forced to make these decisions, do I want to look good or do I want to freeze to death? Because it's minus 100 outside. It got to the point where I had like 5 or 6 layers of pants and snow pants and everything on. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's just so cold. I also
can't imagine that you ever look bad in whatever it is you're wearing.
That's
absolutely
true.
Oh, thank you. At one point, I had like a cover I had to run through because it's like a horror film. So running through the forest.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
We had some good laughs on there. I'm like, I can't run, I can't move, but at least I'm like not freezing to death.
I know what you mean, though. There are several scenes in Shadowhunters where I'm wearing, I think, at least two pair of jeans and probably four or five layers on my top half just to try and keep as much.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah,
we
the
had
wetsuits.
Full thermal wetsuits underneath our clothes for one, the cold, but two, we were supposed to go in the water that day.
Yeah.
And we got there and they're like, it's frozen like 4 feet straight down. There's no way we could, like, we physically can't put you in the water because it's like a solid block of ice concrete.
Yeah.
But we just had these wetsuits on underneath and it was the only thing that, and the crew, bless them, would run in with like duvets and they would wrap us up. I think there are some photos of us floating around like that and they would just wrap
like
us up in everything they possibly could. So, yeah.
Yeah. There was a crew member holding a heater above our heads. They had like rigged a stinger and got it all the way out to this edge of the lake and he was holding it like a boom mic above our heads at one point. Oh,
that's right, because we were wet as well, weren't we?
We were supposed to be wet because we were supposed
to have come out of the lake.
Yeah.
So they sprayed us down. Before we
it was
did the
cold
scene
near the lake too,
yeah,
it's freezing
it was
near the lake.
Yeah.
Although best start to a day ever. The first thing I see, because it's so beautiful when you go up into the north of, or like slightly north of Toronto, which is where we were.
We were up in
these
the
lakes
Park
and this like wilderness, oh, beautiful. Absolutely stunning. And I'm out there just like looking at my surroundings before we get started, and just a family of otters like run across the ice, and I'm like, that's the coolest start to my day. Just like a little otter mum and like three otter babies just run across. So it was like,
good
that's
omen.
Awesome. I know.
That's very sweet. I remember the few days that we were, or that I was on set, there were a couple of days that were really cold. And I remember, Kat, you had like very thin clothes on.
Yeah.
Very thin, where I had like a suit and stuff. So it wasn't, I didn't feel it quite as bad as you did. But yeah, you were a trooper for sure.
Season one, they really committed to the idea that the shadow hunters couldn't feel temperature. So they were like, when it got really hot, we were like sweating. And then when it got really cold, we were like freezing cold. And then season two, we were just like, that's a shit idea. Let's just nix that. And all of a sudden in like scarves and gloves, like all of this cold weather accoutrement, which is great.
That's the interesting thing with film. No, it's like they shoot Christmas movies in July and you know, summer movies in January, but...
It's always the wrong season. When we did The Stand, we were shooting in a condemned hotel outside of Vancouver. So there was no electricity unless we brought it in. No heat, no running water, nothing.
Oh, wow.
But it was great because it was a blank slate to create like, you know, this Stephen King hellscape of new Las Vegas, basically, which is awesome. But I was dressed for Las Vegas in January in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And it was just wild.
That's not fun. That's not fun. My brain stopped working when I'm cold.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
When I feel like I got nothing left.
Yeah.
I'm too cold. I can't, what? I have a speech? What?
Because you do. Your body goes into like shutdown. Like it's like, because it thinks you're dying. Like when it gets
especially
really
if it's middle
cold,
of the night.
Yeah.
You're in a dress like, and you're like.
Your brain is just telling you like, well, I just got to keep the brain and the heart running, I guess. Like that's all I have to do. And everything else disappears from your mind. Like completely. Everything else is gone.
Exactly.
What a wild thing that we do for a living.
Man.
They need to introduce Glühwein. You know what that is?
No.
Have you guys ever been to Germany? So in Germany, they have these big wine casks in the middle of the street where you can just go like how we buy coffee here. You can go and just buy hot wine. So they drink a cup of hot wine to keep warm.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's like normal. Like you can get it in a lot of places outdoors. They just have it. And
I do wonder what the experience on a set would be like if that was available, though.
No,
that
because,
was just
because
like a thing.
It's so cold. It actually, the alcohol doesn't, like it warms you, but it doesn't affect
interesting.
You.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it just warms your body up a lot faster than a cup of coffee would.
Huh.
That's why they do it. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm advocating for wine on set.
Yeah, I mean, they bring out a cheese board anyway. You might as well have wine with
for
it.
For sure,
you
yeah.
Know? Yeah, exactly. Have a little fun, everybody a little looser.
Yeah. Get those creative juices flowing.
I think that's a great idea.
Exactly.
So what would you say would be the highlight of Shadowhunters? It's a difficult question to ask because I think we all had such a good time. But what would you say, you know, the best of times at Shadowhunters was? Wow, I'm not even cold, and that was a real struggle to get out. What's wrong with me there? That was crazy.
For me, what stood out, there's a few moments, but one that really stands out was that time that we were in the warehouse, and we were all, the laughing had gotten to the point where it became hard to work.
Common occurrence on Shadowhunters.
Right. And it just poured into, okay, Captain Vargas, you are the captain. Can you please keep a straight face? Meanwhile, Jace is stumbling all over the place going, ah, I'm going to get it this time. Like, I can't keep a straight face at this point.
Sorry. I do tend to be the common denominator, and I apologize for that. It's not very professional. I'll work on
it. Why would you apologize? Oh my God. No, that's what makes memories. Yeah. No, without that, then no. It wouldn't have been a memory. It would have just been like, meh, another day at work.
Yeah.
I remember that was the day that I really got to know you guys. Mm-hmm. I remember having conversations with you, Kat, about your mom. I remember being, your mom's a scientist, right?
Yeah.
I was a scientist. I remember having that conversation and getting to know you a lot. And with you, Dom, I remember you telling me about your dogs and where you're from and a little bit of your history. So that really stood out to me. I remember, I don't know if I can talk about the end scene, the final
talk about
scene.
Whatever you want. Yeah.
Oh, okay. The death scene for me, that was another one that kind of stuck in my head a little bit because it was an awkward death. It was just kind of like weird.
Dying's hard.
Yeah.
Dying's hard, no matter how it happens. But that was a particularly strange death. Yeah.
Right. That kind of stood out to me. But the thing that sticks out to me the most would be the relationships that was built behind the scenes, for sure. For sure. It was sincerely a really great group.
It was a great group.
And that's why we call it the Shadow Fam.
Yeah.
Still,
very sweet.
7 years later. 7 years later.
I know. It's been crazy. But
still going strong.
That's what happens when the magic is there.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being a part of this. We couldn't have done the show, both the show Shadowhunters and the show Return to the Shadows without seeing your beautiful face. And thank you for talking to us. Thank you for the insight into there being colder places than I thought from a movie.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's so good to see you guys. It feels like, you know, I just saw you last week. It's so weird between social media and you guys not changing. It really doesn't feel like much time has gone by. So it's crazy, 7 years.
Yeah.
But you guys are awesome. And it's so good to see you. And even better to see you guys blossom. So well deserved.
Well, right back at you. I mean, as you said, you know, when you work in this industry for so long, there's certain people that just touch your heart and stick with you. And I think for, you know, I can speak for Dom and myself and say that you're certainly one of those people.
Aw, thank you.
Thanks for being here today.
You guys are the best.
Return to the Shadows is hosted and executive produced by Catherine McNamara and Dominic Sherwood. Our executive producer is Ling Lee. Our senior producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia, and our producers are Hannah Harris and Kristen Vermilia. Original music by Alex Kinsey and performed by Alex Kinsey and Catherine McNamara. The episode was mixed by Seth Alansky. Be sure to subscribe to Return to the Shadows wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a review.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.